Live from Toronto, this is Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman, brought to you in part by Microsoft on News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Tech Talk, a fun technology show that's completely accessible and not full of confusing technical jargon. Can you imagine a plain English show about technology that dispenses with gigahertz this and megapixel that and terabyte this? Who needs it, I say? This show is perfect for you, whether you're a technophile who loves this stuff or a technophobe who is intimidated by it all or somewhere in the middle. Popular topics on Tech Talk include great computers, websites, home theaters, smartphones, portable media players, camcorders, GPS units, digital cameras, and video games. For those kids and kids at heart. Tech Talk is sponsored by Microsoft's LifeCam. Share life as it happens with live video chats over the internet. It's easy with the Microsoft LifeCam web camera. And you can chat for free with friends and family anywhere in the world with Windows Live Messenger. And that's with video again. Love it. Use it all the time. But today on Tech Talk, we're not going to really talk about web cameras. We're going to do that a bit next week. Today we have two guests. After 12:35, 12:40 or so, we're going to talk about an amazing new Canadian technology called iLane. That's a little L, a little I, capital L-A-N-E, that, among other things, reads your emails and text messages to you while in the car and lets you respond safely with your voice as well. So in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Ken Truffin. He's the VP of marketing for a company called Intelligent Mechatronic Systems, or IMS, and he'll be with us to talk about the iLane product in a few minutes. But first, from now until then, we're going to talk about what's new in computers, specifically desktop computers, whether you are a consumer or you run a small business or maybe work for an SMB, a small, medium-sized business, and you're the one who's responsible for buying new PCs for your gang. We're going to also talk about the next major step in how we interact with our digital content using your finger, believe it or not. Touch is here for your PC. It's not just for your smartphone anymore. And right now we're joined by Phil Smith, product manager for commercial desktops at HP Canada. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate your time and for coming down here to St. Clair Ave West, the HQ for CFRB. And what I wanted to do for the first half of the show and a little bit more is to talk about sort of the evolution of the computer and the interface. We're used to using a keyboard and a mouse. We're going to talk a little bit about touch, which I've had the privilege of playing around with one of the HP products in my home office, the DX9000. So I want to tell our listeners about that. But first, I want to just take a step back and talk a bit about the different categories of computers these days, because it's not a one-size-fits-all scenario. Right. So let's talk about some of the bigger categories and maybe some thoughts on how to tell which computer is ideal for you or your business.
Absolutely. So you've got everything from the ultra-mini note PCs these days all the way through to a full-size workstation, and it really depends on what you plan to do with the technology, right? So, if you're a really savvy tech guy, you're going to want something that's more powerful. If you're playing games all the time, you want something that's particularly intensive, so you want something with better graphics, better memory, all that kind of stuff.
Right, a better processor. We always hear these buzzwords now, dual core or quad core processor,
right.
Which is kind of like having two or four engines under the hood of your car.
Right, yeah, it's breaking it down really to multiple different applications being able to run at the same time. Well, you know, most of us who are not tech savvy are probably not going to have a million programs running, right? But so you're not going to get as much benefit out of a quad core. Someone like that would only want maybe a dual core type system, because it's still useful even for those consumers, because you can take a desktop and you can be working on your regular email, or whether you're working on the internet, but you might actually have like an antivirus running in the background or some other program that's running in the background. And every once in a while, you know, as a consumer, you get so frustrated because all of a sudden your PC just stops functioning the way you want it to.
Yeah.
I guess it grinds to a halt.
If look at some of these kids today, though, Phil, like these teenagers, they've got seven or eight things open. They're chatting on MSN.
Yeah.
They're downloading music from the internet or videos.
Right.
They're surfing the web for homework.
Yep.
They're writing in a Word document.
Right.
You know, they maybe have Skype open, so if somebody calls them or Windows Live Messenger, it'll buzz and say that you've got a call coming in. So you don't need to be that tech savvy. It's just kind of life for them. They multitask the way that we don't, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. And for those people, you really do want something that's going to be able to manage multiple applications. The desktop is basically juggling at that point, right?
Right.
And so you want to be able to have a system that can manage that juggling well.
All right. So from what I understand, then there's sort of four main computer categories. One, and let's start off with, and let's go from smallest to biggest in terms of size. The smallest are often called netbooks. Some companies, including HP, calls them mini notebooks.
Yep. But
these are like these 7-inch or smaller screens. Laptop-like device that you can take with you to go. It's battery-powered. You don't plug it into the wall unless you need to.
Right.
And they often have built-in wireless connectivity, so you can surf the net.
Yep.
And they usually don't have too much horsepower under the hood. It's more for, you know, picking up email, web surfing, writing documents or something.
Right.
Okay, then we go up to laptops, and that is a portable computer that is starting to catch up in terms of power and performance to desktops.
Right. We're starting to see, actually, notebooks are overtaking desktops, and that's a new trend. And although we've been expecting it for a while, it's actually not just until recently that it's actually happened.
I think what's really helped that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Phil, is this whole wireless revolution.
Absolutely.
The fact that you can now, for as low as $20, install a wireless network in your home, so long as you've got a high-speed connection from, say, the likes of Bell or Rogers. And you can then surf the net from anywhere without being tethered to the wall. You're not tethered to that modem anymore.
Right.
And I think that's liberating for many.
The other thing that drives that sales motion as well is the fact that there's more than one person in the house that wants a notebook now. You know, a desktop, everyone can kind of share, and they do tend to share. But with a notebook, you've got, you know, your son that wants to do something else completely. Maybe he wants to do his homework. Unlikely, but...
Well, let's hope. Let's hope that's what he says he's doing.
Right, yeah. Right.
So there's mini notebooks or netbooks. Then there are laptops. And the third category would be desktops. And that's a stationary computer, like the ones that we grew up with, where it's like, you know, I know they're getting away. Computer manufacturers, including HP, they're getting away from that big, boring, old beige box that you put on the floor. And we will talk about some interesting new shapes and concepts, like the DX9000 I mentioned earlier. And that's a desktop, so you do need to be in one place for the most part. So if you might want to buy one if you've got a cottage, or you put it in your home office. And that you attach a screen to it separately, and that's usually not built in some cases.
Exactly.
It is.
Yep.
And then the fourth category would be workstations, which you mentioned. That's like a real power, you know, this is like a real powerful machine used by those who maybe are animators or photo editors or video editors.
Exactly.
And that kind of looks like a PC, a desktop PC, but it often has a lot more processing power and memory under the hood.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Great. So what, I know you specialize in commercial desktops at HP, so that's more on the business side, right?
Right. But, you know, it's not unlike consumer in a way, because a lot of small businesses buy just like a consumer does. And so we have to evolve the way that desktops are being made, the way they look, the way they, you know, the way they show themselves. It has to change along with the world today, because people are a consumer and a business owner, right?
That's true. We often do lead dual lives. And on the same note, we're finding businesses buying both anyways, because the prices have dropped tremendously for computers over the past few years.
Right.
So it's not unusual for desktops to be at the office and a laptop to be with you on the go, rather than a laptop controlling your whole business, which some say isn't a great idea.
No.
You know, just in case you lose your laptop or your data is breached or something.
You should always have a backup, always have you know, preparations, because a notebook can be stolen, right? That's the reality of it, and your data is going to be gone with it, so you want to make sure it's protected.
We're chatting with Phil Smith. He's the product manager for commercial desktops at HP Canada. What we're going to do is take a short break, and when we return, we're going to talk with Phil about how to decide which kind of computer is for you. How, you know, should you get a laptop over a desktop or a netbook instead of a workstation? We'll talk about how to decide what to look for, and then we're also going to talk about touch and why HP is spearheading this really amazing phenomenon on how to interface with your computer, and that is happening on both the laptop and desktop side. So stick with us. We're going to get back with more Tech Talk and HP in moments, but right now, let's check in with the CFRB All-Day Traffic Center.
You're listening to Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk 1010 CFRB, brought to you in part by Microsoft.
Hey, welcome back to Tech Talk. If you're in the market for a new computer, we're chatting with HP for the first half of the show. We've got Phil Smith in the studio. He's a product manager for the commercial desktop division at HP Canada. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
So whether you're in the market for a PC for your own personal use or your kids or grandkids, or if it's for business purposes, or in many cases today, a little bit of both, especially as many of us are telecommuting, working from home, even though you work for a company elsewhere, we're going to give you some ideas, some tips on what to look for when you're shopping for a new computer, how to decide what form factor is for you. And last but certainly not least, I want to talk a bit about the touch revolution and some really amazing innovations cooked up at HP, especially in a unit that I've been test driving for the past month called the DX9000, which is a desktop computer, but not a traditional one.
Not at all.
All right. So let's start off again. So before the break, Phil, we talked about the sort of four main categories of computers. There's netbooks or mini notebooks, ultra small and portable, and relatively affordable. Then there are laptop computers, also known as notebooks. Then there are desktops that are the stationary computer that you'd keep in one place. Yeah. And then workstations, which are for those who need exceptional power.
Right.
Maybe an animator or some sort of visual artist that uses digital tools. So let's now talk, how do you decide which one is for you? Do you sort of assess your needs or what kind of programs you want to run on it before deciding which of those four to invest in?
Well, there's a couple of things to consider, right? One is price. The other is performance.
And lifestyle.
Sure. So are you a traveler? Or do you need to take the data with you? Most people are saying today, notebooks are so cheap. You can get a notebook for $299. The reality is that those notebooks are probably not going to do everything that you want them to do. So if you want power but you want price, then you're probably better off with a desktop, provided that you don't need to travel or you don't need to take that information with you, right? That's where a desktop is going to sit. The other portion of it, too, for desktops has been the evolution of the home. Right. Like now people are bringing technology into the kitchen, for instance. They're bringing technology into places that it's never been before. Mm-hmm. And that's where a desktop really sits well. Or even better, something like our Touch Smart, which we're going to talk about later, that sits perfectly in that type of environment.
Right. Like a kitchen counter, so you can, check out recipes online without having to waste paper by printing it and then bringing it to the kitchen afterwards.
And the consumer models, they can also be a TV. They can be a PVR. They can be surfing the web. You can do everything, right?
And a PVR is a personal video recorder that can record your shows so you can watch it when you like.
Right.
Without having any tapes or discs. It's all built into the hard drive.
It's a lovely thing,
It sure is, I know. My wife, Kelly, her favorite piece of technology we own, without question, is the PVR that we have connected to our TV, because it really changes how you watch TV. I don't want to digress too much, but essentially it's a hard drive, just like a computer that stores all the video content on there. So you have to look at your price. If you don't have as much cash, maybe $200-$300, you might want to go with a netbook or a mini notebook. They're smaller, but as you said, if you're a hardcore gamer or you like to edit a YouTube video before uploading it, probably not for you.
No.
But if you are mobile, you're a student on the go, you want to bring a computer to a lecture hall and write down what the professor is saying, you might want to opt for a laptop that gives you a bit more power, but still mobility.
Yeah.
And if you're not so much into traveling and you run a home office and you do need some power under the hood, and a desktop is a good way to go.
Absolutely.
I think what I also like about desktops, and I know everybody's talking about laptops because they seem to be trendier than the old desktop stationary computer, is that I like that it's modular. You can add to it if you want. You don't need to really be tech savvy to do it, to add more memory, to add another hard drive, to add a bigger monitor. There are advantages when it comes to modularity.
Most people are not going to touch the inside of their notebook. Even to add a memory module, take my parents, for instance, they are not going to open up the back of their notebook and try and put in another memory module. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. But on a desktop, maybe, there's some things that they could add. They can simply attach external peripheral devices, in different ways. Not that they couldn't do that with a notebook, but with a stationary product, you can add, a webcam, or you can add other things onto it. That's pretty simple, right?
Another tip is that if you've got young kids and you're letting them use the internet, it's recommended to keep the computer in a central area of the home where there's a lot of traffic, just to keep your eye on what they're doing. Not that you can watch them 24/7. We recognize that. And I, being a parent of three kids, I can appreciate that as well. But I think a desktop is also better for younger kids because they can't drop it. You can keep your eye on where they are easily. Because right. if you have a teenager who doesn't want you to see where they're going on the internet and it's a laptop, they just simply pick it up and go to their room.
Yeah.
Whereas a desktop is, you know, so long as it's in, you know, maybe some sort of den hutch or somewhere that there is a lot of traffic, you're going to see, and I have nothing to hide at that
right,
point.
Right. And your notebook, you know, it's easy for your kids to pick it up, take it to the mall, and, you know, they accidentally leave it there. And the next thing you know, mm-hmm. you're never going to have that again. You're never going to see that again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so desktop is stationary. So.
Yeah. So, but even though it seems that this, and probably you can confirm that the sale of laptops have eclipsed desktop computers,
yes. yep.
You can also find the third sort of benefit of a desktop is that they're often cheaper. They often are less expensive because you're not paying for those small parts, which typically cost more to manufacture.
That's right.
Right.
And a notebook does contain a screen as well. So a desktop, you generally are buying a screen separately from the unit.
Mm-hmm.
So
all right, good. So you know what? I'd love for you to stick around after this break that we're going to take for traffic and weather and news. And when we return, Phil, I really want to talk to you about touchscreen technology. We've been teasing our listeners all along about the TouchSmart DX9000 that I've had on loan, and I know they're selling well, and I really want to talk to you because I think most people think about touch when it comes to smartphones, like an iPhone or some other products like the BlackBerry Storm or the Samsung Instinct,
mm-hmm.
but really it's starting to migrate now into computers, and a lot of this functionality is going to be built into the next Microsoft operating system, Windows 7, so I really want to pick your brain about what makes touch cool when it comes to computers. Is it more than just a trendy thing to add on? Is there some real good applications for both businesses and consumers? So I want you to stick around for that. When we return in a few minutes, more with Phil Smith from HP Canada to talk about why your next computer will be hands-on, literally. Stick with us.
You're listening to Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk 1010 CFRB, brought to you in part by Microsoft.
Hey, welcome back to Tech Talk. You know, when, was it MC Hammer when he said, can't touch this? He wasn't talking about his computer, but he might as well have, because the latest crop of computers, or let's say the near future of computers, will be hands-on fun with both desktops and laptops. We're talking with Phil Smith, Product Manager for Commercial Desktops at HP Canada. Welcome back to the show, Phil.
Thanks, Mark.
Sorry to drop the cheesy old rap reference there. It is MC Hammer, wasn't it? Can't touch this? Yeah,
good
is it?
Question.
Oh, gosh. I don't know where I'm pulling that out of. But touch is what I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes. I think Apple has done a terrific job in touch with their iPhone, using your fingertips to navigate through web content, your media, like
yep.
music and audiobooks and
right.
podcasts, photos and videos. But what's really interesting is that HP is taking this to a new level. HP has had tablets for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about a tablet, but now it's moving to the desktop. So explain why touch is cool for computers.
Well, you know, traditionally, touch has been sort of confined into the mobile space, and people are starting to see just how intuitive and how easy it is to use. You know, it's I guess the best way to say it is that it just doesn't have the intimidation factor of a regular technology, because you're dealing with it like you would in life, right? When you walk up to something, you can grab it, you can move it, you can do what you would do with a physical product. Right.
Right. So you walk up to a table and there's a photograph on it, a 4x6. You would reach out your arm, touch the photo, and then move it to another part of the table if
right.
you wanted to put your coffee down. So just like that, you would walk up to your computer, like the DX9000 I want to ask you about, touch a photo, and flick it to another side of the screen.
Right. And it can be done more than just with photos. I mean, you can take your entire list of applications that are within the HP TouchSmart software, and you can control all of that with touch by sort of flipping through it like a Rolodex almost.
Right.
Or it's
a
so much
bit
easier.
Like, Minority Report with Tom Cruise using his hands
bit.
To push around. Maybe not that high tech.
Maybe, yeah.
But
someday.
Yeah,
someday.
You get the idea that you actually move your hands to touch the screen instead
yeah.
of using a mouse and a keyboard, which you can. They do come with a mouse and keyboard too. But the real neat application is using your what God gave us, our 10 fingers, to move the content around the screen. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I've had one in my kitchen for the last couple of weeks, just getting used to it. You know, I had my family visiting. I had my uncle and aunt and my parents. And, you know, they simply have no problem dealing with this technology. Like, no, my parents are the last people that I would call if I needed tech support. But they can walk into my kitchen.
I hope they're not listening. They may be offended at that. But if they have a son who works at HP, I don't think they have to worry about tech support.
No, I'm their tech support guy, right, basically. Right. But yeah, I mean, they walk in the kitchen and they have no problems dealing with it. It's innate almost.
Yeah. So the number one advantage to touch in computers is that it's natural, and it should lower those sort of barriers of entry to those who are intimidated by technology.
Right. There's no keyboard anymore. Like, what do you do with a control key? What do you do with the Windows key? Most people that don't know technology are scared by that.
I like surfing the internet with my fingertip, because if there's a link to another site, you just simply press and it'll take me to the next site, and I can flick down if I want to. If I'm reading a news article, I can just flick my finger up, rather, which pushes the page down, and it's like a newspaper almost.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty wild. So tell us a bit about the DX9000 computer, which is... It looks like a monitor, but the computer's built in.
Well, so the first really cool thing about it is that it's an all-in-one. And if people don't know what an all-in-one is, it's basically a desktop and a monitor combined into one cool little form factor. It looks almost like a flat panel monitor, except that it's your everything. It's desktop. It's the desktop. It's the monitor. It's the webcam. It's the speakers. It's everything.
Right. And even the mouse and keyboard that it comes with, should you want to use that as your interface instead of your fingers, those are wireless.
And
I can tell you anecdotally, it didn't require any setup at all. You just pull the tab out of the back, so it gets the battery kicked in. It kicks in the battery, and then it automatically synchronizes with the PC.
Right. Your setup
and you're good
is,
to go.
Your setup is pulling the power cord out of the box and sticking it into the back, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, one cable goes to the wall, and
right.
that's it.
Yep.
So again, it looks like a computer monitor, and it's a 22-incher, by the way. It's beautiful.
It's with a nice screen, glossy high
screen.
Definition.
Yeah, beautiful. But the PC is inside, and why don't you tell us a bit more about the applications? What can you do with your fingers? Because I know that there is a series of applications for music and for photos,
right
from the main desktop that lets you. So I know it lets you get going right away with it.
So HP has a software suite called HP TouchSmart Software Suite, and that's kind of, I think, what you're referring to, where HP has pulled out a lot of the complexity and made it nice and simple for people. It's designed for your finger. It's not, you know, if you go into Windows and try and touch stuff, you know, you can do that with the TouchSmart, but you'll find that, you know, most things are not designed for that type of interaction.
They will be more with Windows 7
exactly.
from what I read. Yeah,
exactly. That's coming in the future, but right now, that's sort of the way it is. So the TouchSmart Software Suite has made that so much simpler. And plus, the applications within it, you've got your calendar, so you can manage all of your different
appointments
engagements
and things,
appointments and whatnot. You can manage your photos. You can manage videos. You can manage music. All of those
and
things.
When you say manage, it's what's neat about the music. Sorry to cut you off a bit, Phil, but with music, I love how you can see the album artwork and flick your fingers left or right, and it scrolls through them like a Rolodex.
Right.
And you can tap it, and you can see what you're listening to, much like how the iPhone works as
You can even grab the scroll bar and just sort of drag it across and scroll through your music that way. It's really simple.
And I love this playlist feature that says, so on the right side of the screen, imagine that it's sort of like a blank canvas. And on the left side of the screen, you're looking at your digital music collection. There's a little button that says, drag and drop your songs over to the playlist to create your own custom playlist.
Yeah.
So you simply pick with your fingertip which songs you want to hear, and you drag and release over that little box, and it puts it in the right order. I thought that was a really neat thing HP threw in.
Yeah, it really is. And it's so easy to use. Anyone can figure it out.
Yeah, my 6-year-old daughter, Maya, she's one of my twins, she does that to choose what music she wants to listen to based on her mood.
Yeah.
And then she'll, minimize that, and she'll go right to the web and go to, a website like Club Penguin or something and play games with her finger instead of the mouse and keyboard. Yeah, it's wild stuff.
It's simple to use, for sure.
Let's talk about the price of the DX9000 and why this might be ideal for business as well. Like, I mean, it sounds like it's, fun. It's fun, and it's got consumer applications, but are there any sort of business advantages?
When we're talking about consumer applications, you're talking about our IQ series of TouchSmart products that you can see in Best Buy, you can see it in Future Shop. The DX9000 is designed for business. And so we're taking the touch capabilities into the world of, consumers that are coming into business, different business establishments.
Okay.
So you're still going to see these things, but maybe you're not buying them, but the business is buying them.
So do you mean a business like a retailer? Like, you can walk into a store and press to learn more about some perfume that you want to buy? Or do you mean that we as consumers can use it for business applications at home?
Well, we've seen so many different applications that can be, because you can create custom applications with the DX9000. And most businesses aren't going to stick with what we gave them, which is the HP TouchSmart software.
Okay.
They want to do something really different and cool and geared toward their business. So when you walk into, I don't know, the Air Canada Center, and you walk into their suite when you bought a really high-end ticket, you know. Now you can use a TouchSmart to order food. You can watch replays of the events in front of you. Mm-hmm. You can order tickets for future events. All these things through the touch-enabled interface, right? So it's really awesome. Simple to use.
And the price for the DX9000?
It's $1,749 for the desktop, for the combo.
Right.
The consumer models, I think, are $15.99 and $17.99.
Okay.
There's different sizes.
And the DX9000, which has that 22-inch screen, it has a little slot-loading DVD player on the
DVD, on
the right side, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I didn't know it. If it had one, I was almost going to email someone from HP and say, how do I load my games on here?
Yeah.
But I looked on the side, and there it was, a little slot load, which means no tray pops out
exactly.
If you hear the word slot load. So you just pop in the disc, and it worked great.
And it has a media reader as well for your camera if you want to grab your pictures and just stick it right onto the TouchSmart. Go ahead.
Awesome. Phil Smith, thank you so much for joining us.
Not a problem.
It was a pleasure. He is the product manager for commercial desktops at HP Canada. Again, thanks for your time, Phil.
Not a problem.
And stick around, everyone else, because we are, and you can stick around too, Phil, by the way, everyone else. He's like, wait, I want to hear. We're going to chat with IMS, a company that has created a technology called iLane that lets you listen to your emails and text messages when you shouldn't be looking at them. Stick around. We'll be right back. But right now, let's check in with the CFRB All Day Traffic Center.
You're listening to Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk 1010 CFRB, brought to you in part by Microsoft.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. We are going to chat now about a really interesting new Canadian technology. It's called iLane, little I, capital L-A-N-E. And we are joined in the studio here at St. Clair and Young. We've got Ken Truffin here. He's the VP of Marketing for Intelligent Mechatronic Systems, or IMS, to talk with us about the iLane. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Thank you for coming down here and by telling our listeners, I'm familiar with this product, but I had to have you on so you could tell our listeners who love getting email and text messages all about the iLane product.
Okay, sure. iLane is a device that goes inside your car. It plugs directly into your cigarette lighter or any 12-volt that you have. Essentially, as soon as I enter my car, iLane will take control of my smartphone so I can keep my smartphone in my pocket. Because when I start the car, and this is all done via Bluetooth, so it's all wireless.
Right. And Bluetooth is sort of local wireless within a few feet, not Wi-Fi where you're accessing the internet.
Exactly.
It's a way of devices to communicate between each other.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So you brought it with you. So
I did.
It looks like a little bit bigger than a deck of cards.
Yep.
And that's the iLane unit, and that can go pretty much anywhere in your car?
It can go anywhere. It can go in your glove box, on your console. It's very important to know you don't have to ever look at iLane. Because as soon as I start my car up, it can be in my glove box. It could actually be in my back seat.
Right, because you don't want to look at anything other than through the windshield.
You want to keep your eyes on the road, hands on the wheel, exactly.
Okay.
So as soon as I start my car up, iLane will come on and say, good morning or good afternoon, Ken. You've got 35 new emails, 4 calendar appointments, for example. And I have a number of options. I can say, check email, at which point iLane will begin to read me all the emails that are sitting on my smartphone in a very natural sounding voice. And after it reads me an email, I can delete it, I can reply to it through a voice file, I can forward it, I can do anything I would typically do using my hands, using simple voice commands. And once again, so I can keep my hands on the wheel and my eyes on the road.
Right. And so just to clarify, when you reply to an email, it's not transcribing what you're saying into text. What happens is the recipient gets an audio clip of you replying to them with your voice.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
You know, voice to text technology just isn't good enough. I mean, we're not waiting for good enough. We have to have it work perfectly
right
before we'd roll something like that out. So it does send a WAV file or MP3.
So iLane, and by the way, iLane is based out of, is it Kitchener? It's Kitchener-Waterloo,
yes,
which is, you know, most known for the Research in Motion.
What's that company called?
Yeah, right. Research in Motion for their BlackBerry devices. And this works with the BlackBerry.
It does work with the BlackBerry.
It's almost like kissing cousins. Cool stuff. So iLane is three parts. There's this product you're holding here.
Yep.
It looks like a deck of cards. That's the main unit.
That's the main unit.
Then there's the power adapter
yep
that goes into the car. And that's what charges it. It's not battery operated.
There's no battery inside the unit.
Okay.
It's powered by your car.
So it's like the cigarette lighter sign of thing. So that's one piece. The second component is your phone. And at this point, BlackBerry is the one it works with?
It does.
Okay. And is there talks about other devices like Windows Mobile
Absolutely.
Or iPhone or anything?
Windows Mobile, Symbian. By end of year, throughout the year, in the near future, actually, we'll be rolling out other OSs. We started with BlackBerry.
Okay. And OS is operating system,
operating
right?
Operating system,
yeah. Yep. So the second component is your BlackBerry that you don't get with the unit. This
nope.
is your existing BlackBerry.
This is your existing BlackBerry.
And the third component is a Bluetooth headset.
That's right.
And you get it with the iLane.
It does come included in the box with iLane. And it does work with certain cars, with certain in-car Bluetooth built-in units. However, we include a Bluetooth headset because we know it works perfectly with it.
Right, because it's closer to your mouth. And
that's
you're,
right.
you're what you're saying, whether you're navigating through your emails and calendar appointments or text messages or replying, it'll be clearer because it's closer to your mouth.
That's correct.
Okay, so you get the headphone with it, and it's from Blue Ant, right?
It is.
Okay,
it's a Blue Ant
headset. A quality earpiece. And that might be law in Ontario soon as well, that if you're going to use your phone while driving, which we'll talk about in a moment because some people might have issues with that period.
Sure.
But if you're going to do it, you've got to keep your hands at 10 and 2.
You do.
And you've got to use a speakerphone or a Bluetooth headset.
That's right.
Okay. Or it doesn't have to be Bluetooth, but any kind, even a wired headset.
Yep.
Okay. So the iLane is designed to read your email, and it does work with text messages as well.
It reads your text messages as well. And there's a whole other suite of services market. You can get, you can say check calendar, and it'll read your calendar for the day. You can say, call Mark Saltzman. If you were in my address book, it would make that call out for you. And if I didn't have you in my address book, I could simply say dial 416-555-1212, and it would make that call out. So it has full calling functionality as well.
All right. Now, can you tell us how much the iLane costs and which kinds of BlackBerries it supports? I'm assuming Bluetooth-enabled ones.
Yeah,
but, okay.
Really, that's a good way to say it. It's all Bluetooth-enabled BlackBerries. It's actually 8000 series, 4.1 or newer, which is pretty much all BlackBerry sold in the last couple of years.
Okay. And the cost for the iLane?
It's $599 is the MSRP. There is a monthly fee of $799 a month. What that includes is a whole suite of on-demand services. So on-demand content from Associated Press. That includes news, technology news, sports, and entertainment. So while I'm driving, I can just say, check news, and then sports will be read up to me by Associated Press.
We're chatting with Ken Truffin. He is the VP of Marketing for Intelligent Mechatronic Systems, or IMS, and the product is called the iLane. What we're going to do is take a short break, and when we return, we're going to chat about the safety factor, because I know that's probably on a lot of your minds about using such a device while behind the wheel, and I'm interested and curious to hear what Ken has to say about that. And we'll tell you a little bit more about some of the other lesser-known features of the iLane. You can go to iLane.com. If you want to learn more about it, and again, if you've got a wireless BlackBerry, a Bluetooth-enabled BlackBerry, then you're good to go once you pick up this unit. We're chatting with Ken Truffin, VP of Marketing for IMS, talking about the iLane, iLane.com, if you want to learn more about it. When we return, we're going to chat with Ken about the safety factor. I'm sure it's on a lot of your minds. You know, how safe is this product, and is this ideal for you or your business? We'll be right back with more Tech Talk.
You're listening to Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk 1010 CFRB. Brought to you in part by Microsoft.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking about iLane. You can learn more about the iLane.com. This is a, looks like a deck of cards, but it's a box that reads your email and text messages to you while you're behind the wheel. And it works with a Bluetooth headset that you put over your ear and lets you hear your messages, respond to email messages and text messages, and a lot more. We're joined in the studio by Ken Truffin. He is the VP of this Canadian company, IMS. And they are the makers of the iLane, based out of Waterloo. Thanks for joining us, Ken.
You're welcome.
So, Ken, let's chat a bit more about the applications. Let's just recap what
sure.
you can do with this. I know I just touched on it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk about the safety
sure.
factor, because I'm sure some people listening right now are saying, you know, how could there be a product like this that encourages you to, you know, not concentrate on the road? But mm-hmm. I know you guys have some interesting stats as well. So let's recap
okay,
what
sure.
what iLane is all about.
Sure. I mean, it does a lot of things. Briefly, it reads your email to you, which you can reply, delete, forward. You can pretty much, you have full control of your smartphone using simple voice commands of your email, of your phone calls. You have on-demand content I mentioned earlier. You have on-demand access to news from the Associated Press, on-demand access to weather. So while I'm in Toronto, I can say check weather, then Toronto. I'll get that day's forecast plus the next 2 days.
Yeah, I've had a chance of trying out the iLane, and I have to say how accurate it is. I mean, it when I was talking, if I want to say call home or call somebody or respond to an email and using your voice to do that, it was, it knew exactly what I was saying. I can't tell you, Ken, how many times I've reviewed a product that's supposed to be voice activated and it does not recognize my voice. Maybe I got an accent or something. I slur. I don't know.
That's fantastic. That's 3 years of hard work from our engineers.
It does work very well.
Great.
Okay. So the iLine, what you need in order for this to work, however, is a Bluetooth-enabled BlackBerry.
Correct.
Because it communicates with your smartphone, and that's how it knows your address book and your text message number and all that. Now, let's talk safety.
Sure.
Some people will say you should not be talking on the phone while driving, let alone listening to your emails, responding to your text messages and all that. So what would IMS say to that?
You may be surprised by my answer, Mark. I agree that you should be focusing on the road while you drive. However, I think the responsible thing to do is look at reality. If you're driving, look to your left, look to your right. Chances are you're going to see somebody doing their email while driving. And we recognized years ago that this is very dangerous, and we saw that smartphones were going to actually explode in the market. So this is a much smarter alternative to looking down at your BlackBerry and fiddling with it. The reality is people all over the place are checking their email while driving. This allows you to keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel.
So it's really no different than talking to somebody beside you, so long as you're looking at the road.
It's actually less distracting. So, when I've used iLane for the last year and a half, it's less distracting than changing a CD, less distracting than changing a radio station, and it's even
eating
less... Eating a
sandwich,
eating cereal, and it's actually much less distracting.
Putting on lipstick.
Yes, and, somebody sitting next to you, you're engaged, they're talking to you. Well, when you're checking email, it's more passive. You're just listening to them. So it's less distracting than having someone sit next to you talk. And I can say that firsthand.
Okay. And I know that iLane has conducted studies on this as well and found that many business persons say that they can actually shave off a lot of their workday. Like there's a productivity angle to this because they can get through all that email before they even get to the office.
That's right. This is for the road warrior. People that are checking emails or they need to stay in touch, this is the product for them.
Okay. So it reads your emails, it reads your text messages, it does voice automated dialing, which a lot of cell phones do already, but it's even simpler with this. You can listen to custom news and other information like weather that is relevant to you.
That's correct.
And it's all in a plain English voice. It's not like that robotic,
it's pretty natural.
And you can't even hear what they're saying. I was impressed by the female voice that read me my email.
We call her Susan.
Susan. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Susan.
Internally.
I hope I didn't hurt her feelings. She's living in this little box
right.
on our
She's
desk.
Your assistant.
Susan, your assistant, I was really impressed with how natural her voice is. And again, how accurate it was when it heard me talk and when I was navigating through all of my menus.
That's fantastic.
I get like 400 emails a day as a journalist. I'm constantly bombarded with press releases and story pitches,
sure.
And it was really saving time for me by the time I got home, I didn't have to go do that whole process all over again. So thank you very much again, Ken Truffin from IMS. The product is the iLane, $5.99 plus $7.95 a month.
$7.99 a month
for the service. You can learn more about iLane.com.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you again, Ken, and safe driving back to Waterloo. And anyone else interested can also email me, techtalk@cfrb.com. I can flip you my review of the iLane that I wrote about for MSN. You're listening to Tech Talk. The show was sponsored by Microsoft's LifeCam. Share life as it happens with live video chats over the internet. It's easy with the Microsoft LifeCam web camera. Go to Microsoft.ca for more. Coming next on News Talk 1010 CFRB, we've got the Buddha Lounge. Stick with us and have a great Sunday afternoon.